Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
Here we go. Final hour of the Rob Brown Show starts now. Welcome back. Rob Brown, that's me. The great Melanzo, that's him. We will effort on rescheduling Rashad for tomorrow on the show. We've talked a lot of Clemson football today. Tiger pal Rachel tweets the show. Rachel said, "All right, boys, serious question. Do you guys not think if Cade plays decent, the Clemson defense can keep this game close?" Here's the reaction. Here's the answer I gave. Clemson's a two-touchdown dog for a reason, okay? It is going to depend, to me, the primary matchup, the thing that makes this game, if it is close, close, is Clemson's defensive line and linebackers harassing Carson Beck. You've got to make Carson Beck be what everybody thinks Cade Klubnik is, right? You've got to make Carson Beck uncomfortable. You have got to attack. You've got to collapse the pocket around him. You've got to make Carson Beck make mistakes. Because if Georgia doesn't make mistakes, no, you're not going to be close. You got to force them into making mistakes. The problem you're going to bump into here is, despite the fact that Clemson's defensive line and linebackers, and I do think they will be pretty good, Georgia's offensive line is going to be something else this year, man.
See, here's the thing. Can Clemson win? Absolutely they could. I mean, it's the first game of the season, and Georgia lost a lot of players, didn't they?
A good amount, but they're bringing back a lot,
well,
too.
Well, Rob doesn't believe in next man up, which means they're going to be a weaker team this year, which means Clemson might have a shot.
No, that's not true. It is not that I do not believe in next man up. Yeah, that's how lines work. If you're in a line and one person at the front of the line isn't there anymore, you're now front of the line. What I mean by next man up is there's a reason the first man is the first man, not the next man. He's the best you have at that spot. And if he goes down, the quality of whatever unit we're talking about goes down.
Yeah,
and if there's one thing you don't want, it's a low quality unit.
You do not.
You want a unit that performs.
Functional. Yes. And if the first guy leaves, then that makes the next guy the first guy, so he just automatically is better?
Then the third guy,
okay,
who becomes the next guy.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. Okay.
Right?
All right. I think we've straightened all that out now. So does Clemson
gotta keep your unit straight.
You do. Does Clemson have a chance? Yes, they absolutely have a chance. It's unlikely, but they definitely have a chance.
I'll put it this way. They got a better chance than Missouri does. Okay, in my opinion. They got a better chance than Vanderbilt does. Absolutely. Does it mean they have a chance?
So you're comparing Clemson to
No, what I'm saying
Vanderbilt.
Is what I'm saying is Clemson
I know how Clemson folks think, and that's the only thing they heard.
Well, then they're
Rob
wrong.
Rob Brown said Clemson's like Vanderbilt.
I can't be held responsible when someone decides what I mean instead of letting me tell you what I mean.
Happens to me all the time. Let me speak, Rob.
So, to me, when I look at a Georgia offensive line that is returning, Lonzo, five starters from last year.
Never mind.
Which is
never mind,
all
Clemson.
Of them.
Never mind. Never mind.
They are bringing back. So, Clemson's Georgia's depth chart goes this way. They are bringing back nine offensive starters. Rob Thomas, Dominic Lovett, and Dylan Bell at the wide receivers. Ernest Green, Dylan Fairchild, four offensive line starters. They will be replacing their center this year with a junior, Jared Wilson. Tate Ratledge and Xavier Truss across the offensive line. Oscar Delp is back at tight end. Obviously, Brock Bowers moved on, but Delp got a lot of time last year. Carson Beck is back, and Trevor Etienne. He's going to get an NIL fine, but not miss any play time, because that's how punishment works. That's how punishment works in Georgia. You lose NIL money, not playing time.
Well, that's how it works in the NFL too. So I mean, it's just in college football is the NFL. It's a business. Why not operate the way a business operates?
So that's the lineup Georgia's bringing at you. Here's the problem that you're going to bump into. The problem you're going to bump into is that the spot, to me, that matters the most if you want a shot at knocking off Georgia in week one in Atlanta, which, by the way, 70-30 Georgia fans in Atlanta? I'm going to say yeah. I'm going to say 70-30 Georgia fans.
I think...
This is an away game for Clemson.
Yeah. No, I agree. I think if it's that much, I think then Clemson believes they have a chance. If it's less, I think the fans don't think they have a chance.
That's interesting. Is that a referendum on whether Clemson fans really truly are all in or not?
I personally believe that is. Of course, they love their team no matter what. But if you believe they're going to get their butts handed to them by Georgia, you're saving that money and going to a different place to watch, you know, your team probably win.
That's interesting.
If you know your team's going to lose on whatever level, whatever sport, are you still going to go? I mean, or does it depend on the venue?
See, I'm a venue and memory guy, right? Like if it's I've been trying for years and I just haven't been able to pull it off. It's always at a bad time. I've been trying for years to get to a Saints at Packers game to go see a game at Lambeau, but there's two reasons I don't. Number one, every time they play at Lambeau, it's always a weekend that I've got something to do. Or it's in January, and listen very closely, that.
I was going to say, so you actually, your dream is to go to a cold weather game.
But when it's in the warm weather, right?
Okay.
It's still colder than
here, so technically it's a cold game.
I'm going to a game at Lambeau if it's in like weeks 1 through 6. All right, week 14 at Lambeau, I'm good, thanks.
So what's your temp cutoff? So 50, you're good.
I'm good.
It's still cold, but it's not freezing cold by the letter of the term. Anyway, so
here's my
40,
limit.
40. You my still good limit, at 40?
My limit is, where does whiskey stop making it feel better? That's my line.
Doesn't that have to do with how much you drink? I don't drink, so I don't know.
Whiskey in the cold is just one of life's great experiences, all right? Like, whiskey in the cold is just, it fills you with bliss and happiness.
Much like jumping out of an airplane, I'm never going to do either.
I mean, I respect it. It's your life, your decision, live it how you want. You are missing out. Whiskey in the cold is just one of the best things, all right? However, there is a point where it is so cold that the whiskey is unenjoyable after that.
Is that by person, though, you think? Or is it just a cutoff for everybody?
No, it's subjective. You know how I know that? Because there were people going to Kansas City for a playoff game in temperatures that their freaking limbs were falling off. I'm out, dog.
That's commitment right there.
I'm out.
Yeah.
Well, then I guess that I'm afraid of commitment. Sorry, Court. I'm out. Because if she goes...
You ain't no fan.
She goes, would you marry me in 30-degree temperatures? No. We do it inside or we elope. I'm not doing that, all right? So, back to this Clemson-Georgia game. I don't know if the fan population is a referendum, because the other side of that coin is Georgia. It's a referendum on Georgia fans, too, and Georgia fans believe, correctly, that they are one of the they are actually the favorite odds-on to win the Natty this year. The odds-on favorite. They're only like 3-1. Right? They're 3-1. Ohio State's 3.5-1. And then you drop down to like 7.5-1 for the next team.
Yeah, that number two team there's probably got a pretty good chance.
Pretty good chance. Got to make it to the playoffs first.
Brand new starting quarterback, though. So who knows?
Fair enough. So Rachel, to answer your question, do I think that Clemson has a chance? Yeah, I do. They have a chance. But I am going to say, and I know this is almost kind of cliche enough that we could probably hit the cliche alert on myself here. It's the same as the Braves panic button.
We probably could find a cliche. I don't know what it was.
I used to have one.
Did it have cliches on it?
No, it had a very cliche announcer's voice just going, "That's a cliche."
That works.
Yeah. The cliche response here is, yes, Rachel, anybody has a chance any given Saturday. That's a cliche we love in college football, right? Any given Saturday. What it will take is two things. It will take Clemson being perfect, and it will take Georgia being not anywhere close to it, right? Because I'll tell you this. I think there's enough separation in these two teams. Georgia doesn't even have to play a perfect game to win. They just got to play a pretty good game. If Georgia's just pretty good, they're good enough to beat Clemson. Clemson's got to play perfect, and Georgia's got to take a couple of steps back. And as Dabo pointed out, in one of those clips that we played earlier, you got to have a little luck. Now, to me, the more prepared you are, the more lucky you're going to be, right? Luck is where, my old man used to say, luck is where preparation meets perspiration.
Ugh. I'm guessing he didn't sound like that when he said it.
No, not at all. Not at all. But he still said it, and it made me sick, and I hate it, but I get it, right? You've got to make Carson Beck make mistakes. Because I'll tell you this, I think Carson Beck's a fine quarterback. I don't think Georgia's won because of Carson Beck. I think he's fine. I think he's good enough to win. I think he's good enough to get them there. I think he's good enough to win a natty. But I don't think Georgia wins because of Carson Beck. I think Carson Beck can be taken advantage of. I think Carson Beck will make some mistakes that Clemson can take advantage of. But I think you have to make him make those mistakes. I don't think you're going to get away with letting Carson Beck be comfortable in the pocket. He's got three returning wide receivers this year. I don't think that you're going to be able to win if you let Carson Beck go out there and make an argument for consideration to the Natty. I don't think that's the right play. So, to me, the game plan, if I'm Clemson, is I want to bust up the offensive line of Georgia. Not easy, right? You've heard me use the expression before. Yeah, I know how to stop a train. You stand in front of it and you push real hard. But the ability to execute the plan is what comes into question, right? Stopping a train is easy. Stand in front of it and push real hard. Doesn't mean you have the strength or ability to make that happen. And while Clemson's strength defensively, I think, is going to be up front, there's no question about that, Georgia's offensive line is going to be exceptional. So it is going to take a perfect game, not just out of Cade Klubnik, but it's going to take a perfect game out of the front seven for Clemson as well. And it's going to take a perfect game up against a team that's just better than you are up front. It's going to take a perfect game up against one of the best offensive lines in football, and that's a big ask, dude. That's a big ask. That's a tough ask out of that squad. So, you know, is there a chance? Yeah. But as we have mentioned a number of times, you're underdogs for a reason. You're a two-touchdown underdog for a reason. Because we know what is required. The perfect game. It's going to require the perfect game. And asking a team to be perfect in week number one, there are very few teams that can pull that off. There are very few teams that are going to be perfect in week one. It just doesn't happen. So to lean into that, to ask for that, is it's not something I'm putting my money on. I'll simply put it that way. It's not something I would put my money on. Texas said, okay, so if Clemson wins against Georgia, I want it on the record that I'm already flying my Clemson flag on my car now, not after we win. Okay, Zoe?
All right, tell the truth. It's stuck. You can't get it off without ripping, you know, your something on your
damn
car
window
off.
Won't go down.
I just can't. I mean, you know, I get it. I get it. But you go with that. It works. It works better than the other thing.
Steven says, that's it. I have to put on my Clemson hat. The Tigers are going to beat Georgia by at least 7, and I'm leaning towards 2 scores. The Tigers gave Georgia everything they could handle with a new QB and DJ Uiagalelei in 2021. We now have a returning Cade, and I believe Zoe hit the Tiger sounder.
Nah, I don't do requests.
Ozzy!
Yeah, I did it one time, and that's because we had a guest.
Keegan said, jumping out of an airplane, sitting inside of an airplane, neither for Zoe.
Exactly.
Just nothing to do with planes.
We know my stipulation. Harrison Ford is getting older and older, so I may not even be allowed to fly anymore. So,
at some point, we're going to get like, hey, do you guys want to go out to San Francisco and cover a Kansas City Super Bowl? And I'm going to have to say to Zoe, get on my plane!
First of all, out of all the scenarios you've ever put forth, that is the most unrealistic of all.
Kansas City playing in a Super Bowl?
No, them flying us out somewhere. Oh. I mean, that's not happening.
You know, maybe one day.
I mean, you can dream of
that. A boy
can
dream.
Yeah, I suppose.
Wesley said, whiskey in the cold. Band name, dibs. Respect. Shane says, as T. Swizzle stated earlier, Clemson has to play a perfect game to be close. Yeah. I would agree with that. T. Swizzle said, in all seriousness, I think it will be a much closer game if Clemson plays a great game in all phases of the game. And I think that's kind of it to me, Zoe. For Clemson to keep it close and be in the books, they've got to play perfect on offense, defense, and special teams. I think if Georgia is perfect in 2 of the 3 aspects of the game, Clemson doesn't have a chance.
The biggest advantage they have, if they would have one, is it's the first game of the season.
Correct. You are almost kind of, I don't want to say banking on, but you're almost kind of banking on Georgia needing some time to hit their stride. The problem you are going to bump into if you are relying on Georgia taking some time to hit their stride is that this is a team with 9 returning offensive starters. Right? This team's played together extensively, won together extensively. This is not new to this team. This is not something that this team is going to take some time to figure it out, bud. They've already got it figured out. They figured it out last year. They put it together last year. You, on the other hand, haven't. You, on the other hand, are going to have to figure it out. And just like it's week one for Georgia, it's week one for Clemson too. And it being week one for Clemson with a lot of guys who are going to get their first look at a top-notch team, you're going to have to be perfect. Georgia doesn't. Let's take a break. Back after this, time for Fight Club with Lonzo when we return on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
I am so pumped and excited to be back here, not only on the Rob Brown Show, not only on the Fan Upstate, but for the Fight Club.
Fight Club!
because I was challenged earlier saying that, you know, I give too much love to a certain company. And because of that, there's been a company that I admit I haven't given as much love to, and I need to talk about more. And that would be TNA Impact. So we're going to be talking some TNA Impact here. First of all, because I believe in Joe Hendry, and I know that Rob does too. By the way, they're going to be in Spartanburg in September. Rob won't be here.
Dude, listen.
But
do you know what
I will represent because they have tapings on Friday night and Saturday night. I'm going to that Friday night taping. I'm going to be there.
As you should. I am missing Weezer. I am missing Steve Martin and Martin Short in concert. I am missing Hootie and the Blowfish that way. And it's all in 1 week. That would have been. Scratch that. Let me be clear. That is going to be the greatest week of my life. Okay?
Yes.
It is going to be the greatest week of my life.
Fix that. Yes.
It is going to be the greatest week of my life. It's going to include the greatest day of my life. I can't wait. But I would be full of crap to tell you I'm not a little bummed out that Steve Martin and Martin Short, who I've always wanted to see, Hootie and the Blowfish, who somehow I have never gotten to see, they're playing on the night of the wedding.
They did break up for a while, but they do, you know, like a golf tournament and stuff still, I believe, in South Carolina, and they play. I mean, they've been in the area some, so you could have found
a way. Not since I moved here.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I think the closest they played is Columbia.
Well, I mean, that's for you, that's still in the area. Come on. You'll go to Columbia to watch. We went to Columbia to watch wrestling.
Yeah, I mean, you're not wrong.
I'll be going to Columbia.
Anyway, listen. The point here is, I haven't gotten to see them yet. That's a huge bummer. And I, they're playing the night of the wedding, so I have to miss them again.
All right. Speaking of Joe Hendry, because I love to talk about myself, and I was on vacation. I don't know if you guys knew that, but whilst on vacation, there's this thing I've
whilst.
Been. Yes, it was a perfect use of the word.
I agree. I say it all the time. I'm just impressed you
whilst
used it.
On vacation, and even before that, I have Joe Hendry's theme song on my Spotify, which I play every time my wife gets in the car, which just I'm going to catch her singing along eventually. So we got to our condo, whatever it is, at the beach. Because it's not really a hotel room. You know, it's one of those timeshare things where you rent for the... So we did that. So we're there. And the first thing I did is I busted out the Joe Hendry theme song. The granddaughter sang it the entire time we were there. Me, my son, and the granddaughter did a wonderful presentation of I Believe in Joe Hendry. She stood in the middle. She sang it top of her lungs. She doesn't know the in-between words so much, but that's fine. Just every once in a while, we were like at Broadway at the beach, and she's walking around, and she kind of looks at her mom and goes, I believe in Joe Hendry. And I'm just like, I win, because that's just amazing.
This dude did something miraculous. He did a podcast not too long ago, and they asked him how he came up with that. And he said, look, he said, I figured it out. And not that this isn't something a lot of people figured out, but if you give the audience something that they can do with the wrestler, they go over. Right. Has anything ever been as impactful as Stone Cold creating a world in which the audience just yells, what? And he went over.
Yeah, and some people hate that now, including me.
Sure.
It's annoying.
Right, but at the time, it was the biggest thing in wrestling. Or The Rock just saying the words millions and having an arena scream back at him, 10 million! Or Daniel Bryan, who literally just pointed in the air. And I sat in the Superdome for WrestleMania 30 with 77,000 people doing the same thing. So they asked Joe Hendry, they're like, how'd you end up here? And Joe Hendry said, basically, I figured out I need to give the audience something to do with me. And that's going to work. And then I thought, what's easier than asking them to clap? And then I just made the song around. I want them not just to clap, but to clap in a particular way. So I had to work that into a song, and then I wrote the song to two claps. And I listened to the guy, and I'm like, it's not that hard, guys. It's not that hard. And dude figured out the formula.
He absolutely did. And according to what he said on NXT, he's going to be around there for a while,
yeah,
which is what we believe. I mean, I don't know when his contract is up with TNA, and I don't think it matters. So I still believe, and I think you were the one that told me that there's a possibility that TKO buys TNA.
Yeah, there's all sorts of smoke around that, and I'm going to be straight up with you. I absolutely think I think the deal's done at this point. I think it's just – I think it's A, specifics, and I think it's B, I think they're waiting for the next Netflix move, which is only, what, a couple of months out?
Yeah, but see, I think this has more to do with CW, and I think they make the NXT brand even stronger. And there are even people out there chanting NXT NA.
Yeah.
Which, but they make the brand even stronger if they could bring in those guys to NXT when they switch to CW. And CW, as we know, is trying to be a sports channel, trying to go away from all the superheroes and all that kind of stuff. And I think this is another step towards that. So we'll see what happens, because also, if they merge them, they got to figure out how to add the new with the old, because a lot of the stars for TNA are like the Hardy Boys and Nick Nemeth, who was Dolph Ziggler.
Yep.
Guys like that who used to be in WWE who are now in TNA. And like the Rascals. I mean, there are so many things that that they're doing that I think is making the mix of NXT and TNA, it's a good mix, but I think Joe Hendry is one of the biggest reasons why it drew attention. And good on him. I mean, he's an older guy. It's not like he just started.
He's like 36.
Yeah, I mean, he's not as old as LA Knight, but still, he's...
Yeah!
Yeah, but he's still pretty old. All right, so... All right, there we it. There we go. I covered some TNA.
There we it.
There we it. I've covered some TNA. Let's cover something else that's not getting enough coverage. Let's talk some UFC. John Jones has pleaded guilty... to two misdemeanor charges. So allegedly, on March 30th, they came to his house to get a drug test, and a worker has said that Jones seemed and smelled like he was intoxicated from alcohol. The worker alleges that Jones put her phone in his pocket, got into her face, and said, "Why you bleeping people coming so early? Do you know what happens?"
Wait. What time was it?
It doesn't say, but I mean, I'm guessing it was like 1 p.m. That's just my guess. I'm going 1 p.m. And he says, "Do you know what happens to people who come to my house? They end up dead." So that's supposedly that supposedly is what he said, and he has pleaded not guilty to it. Why can this guy not stay out of trouble?
Because he's an idiot, right? Like, is there any question about that anymore? It's because John Jones is a big dummy, and I will say this: and when we look back at the list of athletes whose careers were derailed by themselves, John Jones is the poster boy of it, right? Because he kind of ran the gambit of doing everything wrong. He's gotten arrests for drugs. He's gotten arrests for violence. He's gotten arrests for just about everything that we dislike. And the worst part is, and I mean this, and I've said it from the time he busted on the scenes, I genuinely believe that if this dude had a good head on his shoulders, John Jones would have been in the mix for the GOAT. He would have been in the mix to be the best of all time, but he couldn't stop punching himself in his own genitalia.
Dana White still calls him that. And that's the thing. He still calls him best pound per pound of all time. But how much has he actually fought in the last couple of years? You know, that's why I was so mad that they basically gave him that title, and then he hasn't defended it since.
Yeah.
So now is he going to, I think it's November when he was supposed to go up against, what his name is, a white dude who's a firefighter, and I hate that names. Stipe Miocic. Yep. I got there. It's
so proud of you. It's early.
It's a difficult name. You know, I'm finding ways to get to the path that I need to remember names. But anyway, he's supposed to fight Stipe, and that's been put off a couple times. Will he actually get there? I don't know. I really don't know. All right, let us jump to WWE really quick, and then we'll try to squeeze in some AEW. Does the Randy Orton beatdown further cement the Bloodline as the scariest faction in all of wrestling right now? Who are you more afraid of faction-wise? I mean, AEW, you still got the BCC. I don't think they're as scary as the Bloodline is right now.
No, they're not. The Bloodline's fantastic. You've got a genuine enforcer. You've got the maniacal lunatic, right? You know what the Bloodline did? The Bloodline has built effectively what made the Shield so good at their prime, right? You have a badass enforcer that can take down anybody. You've got the crazy maniac who is not afraid to get stabbed in the eyeball if that's what it takes. And then you've got kind of a mob leader, faction leader. What makes the story interesting, though, is that Solo playing the role of Seth Rollins of the Shield, but not being that good at it and just trying, like, he's the kid. And like I've even said, I think the reason they keep putting him like in suits that don't fit is to kind of visually display that he's trying to fill a suit that he doesn't fill, but he believes he does. And now he's built a crew of guys behind him that you're not afraid of Solo Sikoa. You're afraid of the three guys behind Solo and the fact that they are just blind listening to him. The only issue I have is we know where this is going to end up, right? This is going to end up with the return of Roman, probably The Rock getting involved again at some point. And that's all well and good. The only reason that's a problem to me is that you know what that means for Cody Kevin and Randy Orton, which is they're getting their butts whipped all the way until Roman shows back up at some point and kind of goes, hey, I know I screwed you guys over for like 4 years. That's my bad. But can I get back on your good side and help you take down the bloodline because Solo has ruined this great thing? So it's this is going to be one of those stories, though, Zoe, that you got to look at and go, even if it's predictable from A to B, can it be entertaining from A to B? Because I'll take predictable if it's entertaining.
Yeah, all I know is they're pretty scary, and they have the potential to get even scarier.
Fatu's a dude, by the way.
He is, for sure. Just the crazy look in all of those guys' eyes may actually be real. It may not be.
Put it
may
this
not
way.
Be a work.
You've built a faction where Tama Tonga is kind of the lame castaway, and Tama Tonga's a menace.
Absolutely. All right, I don't know if you caught up on the Wyatt Six yet, but if you've seen the Rowan video, wow. That was rough. He talked about how he had lost two brothers and how he was, I'm just big time summarizing here because of time. He, about how, you know, Uncle Howdy, Bo, whoever reached out a hand when he was at his lowest and how he used to have a family and now he has a family again. I mean, it's just really good. And I like what they're doing here and I hope they do it for each individual member. But when they get to a certain member who hasn't really talked on TV yet, what are they going to do? When Dexter Lumis is the next guy that they talk to, is he going to talk?
I think you can utilize Dexter Lumis kind of the way that you're utilizing Fatu with the bloodline. I don't think that guy needs to. I think you can do something just like put Dexter on a screen and then instead of having him talk, maybe like you flash up a picture of Indy Hartwell. You flash up a picture of the family. You flash up pictures. Because Dexter Lumis has got a number of those stories where he got abandoned. He got taught. So I don't even think you need to have him talk. I think you can keep him Dexter Lumis, but just flash up these things, these pictures, and then just go away and let him keep being the silent enforcer of that group. All I know is, dude, Eric Rowan was through the original Wyatt family, when Brody passed away in AEW, when he came out to kind of be a part of that send-off. Eric Rowan is a phenomenally entertaining dude. Like, he gets it, and he fits really well into this. I have not seen that yet. I'm watching through Monday Raw right now, so I'm a little behind. But it would shock me 0%. If Eric Rowan does as much heavy lifting in this whole thing as Bo does.
So these videotape vignettes, I think, is great. The question is, does the fan base have enough patience to let him get through every member? I hope so, because I think Nikki's going to do an excellent job with it. Like I said, I think they all will. The concern for me is Dexter Lumis. And the fact that Bo Dallas came out and got beat up, kind of what Bray used to, but at one point, and unless I'm wrong, I was at the beach when I was watching it, he said, there he is. And when he said that, then they came out. Like, he needs to be beat to a moment to where he sees the Uncle Howdy or he sees Bray, whatever he's seeing. I don't know. The thing is, I think these guys are actually going to wrestle eventually. I don't think they're going to wrestle with their masks on. We'll see.
No, I don't think they will either. They're big. They're cumbersome. But no, I think you're with Bo. You have to acknowledge that there's a lot of the Fiend Bray split duo with Bo, right? Like the video, and I think that was kind of the point of those vignette videos they were putting out where he was talking to Uncle Howdy. The point is, it's kind of a back and forth personality. And I think you saw that when they played a video and then 3 minutes later, he's in the GM's office as Bo Dallas, right? And then you got him coming out to talk to Chad Gable, and that's going to be a switch flip kind of moment. I really like what they're doing here. And I told you the day after they did the debut where they committed mass murder behind the scenes, I'm like, I don't think I'm going to like this all that much. And now I'm right back in. I'll tell you who I am interested in seeing with that cameo. Nikki Cross. Like, I loved Unhinged Nikki. I think they go a little overboard with the crazy female wrestler trope, right? Like, there's always two or three of those going at any given moment. Nikki Cross is one of the few that you pulled it off and you're like, yeah, she's good at this.
Yeah, she was amazing when we got to see her early on in NXT in Spartanburg. And just when she came out and slapped herself all the time and all that kind of stuff, we got to see that during that run. And that
what was the name of that faction they had together in NXT?
Insanity.
Yes, loved it.
Yeah.
Loved it.
Yeah.
Genuinely loved it.
Her husband was in there and a couple other people. Yeah, me too. And then they brought them up without bringing her up, which made another Vince McMahon decision, which made no sense at all. So it's my understanding, before we go to break, that next week AEW is going to be here. I don't know if you knew that.
I did know Dynamite. That. And not only will they be there, you and I will be there.
Yeah, and not
you're
only
come
that,
out late. It is a weeknight.
Not only that, we'll take it under advisement. And the other thing is, we are going to have some wrestlers possibly live in studio.
Possibly live in studio. That is up in the air. We do know we will have some interviews. As of right now, we have Dax and we have friend of the show, Chris Statlander, who will either stop by trying to get it in studio. We'll find out. But I will also tell you that we have a good likelihood of getting others on, including, and let me underline, bold, and italicize this, potentially, Lonzo, potentially a champion coming on the show. So we'll let you know when we get those locked down, who and when.
Well, that's usually what we do here is we have champions.
That's true. And we will figure out a way to get them to say something that makes us dirt sheet famous again. We'll see how it goes. We'll get there.
No, we don't strive for that. We ask legitimate questions, and we ask questions that other people don't ask, and it ends up turning into something
like that. Don't
disagree. We're not looking for clicks.
James,
we'll take them if we get them, though.
Is Damian Priest a face now? You know, tell you what I think?
The stuff he's doing with Dom Monday night was hilarious.
Yes. You know what I think is turning Damian face? His just open laughing at Dominic Mysterio right now.
Oh, for sure.
Is my favorite
and
thing.
And setting him up for everything.
Is my favorite
yes.
thing.
And by the way, he looked good against Braun Strowman.
He looked legitimate
as a champion
yeah.
against Braun Strowman.
Which is good because, honestly, at this point, the title reign of Damian Priest is Judgment Day, right? But now they're trying to walk him into being a legit champion. Because if he's not legit going up against Gunther, that's not going to be a fun build-up. What I will say is, Zoe and I have some thinking to do about who are we pulling for, friend of the show Damian Priest or friend of the show Gunther.
It's very difficult. And I was watching at the beach going, interviewed that guy,
yep.
interviewed that guy, both of them
both
in person. What do we do? I don't know what we do.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Take a break. Come back. Final segment of the show is up next on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate. All right, got about 6 minutes left, and then it's time for What the X is Going On, and then we will call it a day here on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate.
I'm tired, man. This is like work today. Why did I schedule my vacation like that? I could have been at home with sleep.
I am 100% I need a vacation from my vacation guy. I'm 100% a guy that I know that, and I don't schedule the vacation where I come back and then have a day off at home and then go back to work. I come back the day before I have to go back to work. Next weekend, the lady friend and I are heading down to the location we are getting married in to, like, you know, you got to do the last play. You got to meet the vendors and test the food and try out the signature cocktails and all that. For my own vacation, and in one of my favorite cities, in America that we're going to. We're leaving next Thursday, so I'll finish up ACC Media Days, and then as soon as I'm done picking her up and we're on the road, and then we'll stay there all day Friday, all day Saturday, and we'll leave Sunday afternoon, get back Sunday night for me to then turn around and come back to work. I am not building an extra off day into my vacation, dude. I'm coming back like 7 hours before I've got to be at work for the next time. I'm absolutely need a vacation from my vacation day guy. Zoe's doing great. All right. Leave him alone.
See, I usually don't do that though, but because of work, I wanted to make sure that certain things got done. So I schedule my vacation around how I wanted to get work done because I'm a company man. I don't know if you knew this.
But
usually I need time to recover because I am not good with travel time.
You should all be like Zoe.
Although we did, we made pretty good time getting there and coming home, but you know.
All right, we played for you earlier the clip of Dabo Swinney talking about the unintended consequences of the expanded playoffs, right? And we got into the conversation about, well, if you're Dabo and your Tigers are 11-0 and you got a spot in the ACC title game that if you win, you get a first round playoff bye, et cetera, and you're playing South Carolina, why are you, like, why would you play your guys? Why would you not sit them? The goal is a natty, right? That's the goal. Like, it's nice to beat your rival. It's nice to win. It's nice to go undefeated. But at the end of the day, the goal of every college football team when they start a season is to win the national championship. So why would you play your guys in a rivalry game if there is no benefit to a win other than being able to talk for the next year? There's not really one. So Dabo Swinney hater Paul Feinbaum decided that he needed to weigh in with his opinion. Asked about those comments by Greeny, Feinbaum said, quote, "No, he's not right. Dabo, that was plain dumb. What happened to you? You used to be a voice of reason in college football, and now you're the get off my lawn guy. Everybody knows what we're doing here. Everybody understands that this is essentially the NFL playoffs. Of course there's unintended consequences. That is not breaking news, Dabo. Your goal isn't to find problems with the system. Your goal is to get back in the playoff someplace you haven't been in a while," end quote. Greenberg went on to respond to that. He said, yes, Dabo is right because we're now going from a sport that's historically been focused almost exclusively on its regular season, and it's becoming a postseason-driven sport like practically all the rest of them are, and thus you're going to see those kind of adjustments made immediately, end quote. Here's the thing, Zoe. Nobody's wrong here except for Feinbaum saying that Dabo's get off my lawn guy. Because you didn't hear Dabo say, this is bad, this is dumb, I don't like it. In fact, quite the opposite. It said, it's not going to change my philosophy. He's not get off my lawn guy. He's, hey, you asked for it, you got it, here's what's different, now let's go play the game. But outside of that, nobody's really wrong here. Paul is correct. The goal for Dabo is to get into the playoffs. That is the goal. That's all that matters at this point. So but that doesn't make Dabo wrong. That doesn't make Dabo wrong. And also Greenberg is right. It is a postseason driven sport now, right? Just like the NFL, just like Major League Baseball, NBA, MLS, it's postseason driven at this point. And that was always going to become the inevitable outcome of making college football more and more and more about the money. Freaking nailed it.
Yeah, like
nailed it.
Like no one knew what you were doing. All right, the first thing that's Xing, I'm guessing this didn't happen while I was gone because no one can do it like me, but maybe it did. The first thing that's Xing is Brandon Ayuk.
So Brandon Ayuk obviously earlier this week asked for a trade away from the San Francisco 49ers after contract negotiations between the vet and the Niners broke down. Ayuk set to enter the final year of his contract, not even one of the top 10 paid wide receivers in the National Football League. He was asking for more money than Debo, and the Niners were like, yo, hold up, you ain't Debo, give some time. Well, Ayuk asked for a trade. Apparently, the Niners received multiple phone calls from teams looking to get on the horn and make that trade. trade happen, and then they said, yeah, no, we're not trading the guy. If he's unhappy, then he can sit it out or play for what he's making and deal with it later. Well, Shefty has now reported that multiple teams have called the Niners, upped their offer, and said, we will pay him what he wants. We will give him that money, meaning he will accept that trade as opposed to being traded for a one-year rental somewhere.
Including a trade with the Raiders for a certain receiver that
Devante
is trying to find his way to the Jets.
Which is also interesting because Aaron Rodgers kicked off a controversy back at the beginning of this week when he said that he can't wait to, quote, play with Devante again, meaning he thinks that's coming down the pipe. That's interesting. Here's the most interesting thing. I looked it up last night. When you look at the odds to land Ayuk right now, do you know who's inside the top five right now, great one?
Jets.
The Carolina Panthers.
Really?
Yep.
Who are they going to trade?
Yep.
Who are they going to trade for him?
A boatload of draft picks.
Okay. All right. All right.
Now, I don't know if that line, those lines jumped out like immediately after the announcement. And obviously, those lines will jump around as teams respond. I believe the Steelers were in that mix. The Patriots were in that mix. The Niners and the Cardinals. And I think the Panthers slid in right after them.
All right. The next thing is Xing is Beetlejuice.
Beetlejuice. Beetlejuice.
Don't do it.
Beetlejuice.
Oh, no. Well, no.
Beetlejuice 2 dropping in some amount of days from now. I think the trailer comes out today.
Trailer's the second one just
the
came
second
out.
One. The it full. I think like, the full one.
Like it just came out. Well, no, there's been a full one. This is the second one just came out like an hour ago. I think it
you
was.
Say what you want. I'm excited as hell about this movie.
We'll see. He shouldn't.
I can't wait.
He shouldn't age. Because he's dead.
Wait.
He shouldn't age. But we'll see. I'm just being a little too technical. The next thing that's Xing is Bronny James.
Bronny James had him finally a game last night. His scoring average in the NBA Summer League has been about four a game, put up 14 last night and almost looked like a pro. That's not my favorite part. My favorite part is somebody took a video of Boston Celtics forward Jaylen Brown, who was at a Lakers Summer League game, and somebody caught him on a candid camera telling some ladies that he was with, and you can read his lips, I don't think he's a pro player yet. And now we got ourselves a little Jaylen v. Bronny v. LeBron
right,
rivalry.
Right, someone actually compared his summer league stats to Bronny's stats,
uh-huh.
And they're about the same.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I'm pretty interested to see how this lays out, but we'll see.
And finally, Star Wars is Xing for some reason.
Star Wars is Xing because the Acolyte season finale has dropped or drops tonight. I think tonight, last night, right?
It was yesterday. No, it was Tuesday. It was Tuesday, rather. Yeah.
How you feel? Have you watched it yet?
Yes.
And you don't have to tell me anything, good or bad. Did it save itself? Because I read a lot of people say the last episode kind of saved itself.
No, absolutely
no?
not. There was a some character appearances. That's all I'm saying. Which was speculated on already.
Yeah,
happening.
I saw one of them already.
Yeah, it's just, no, it did not save itself.
I did see an article that said because Blank showed up, it's earned a second season. I'm like,
no, there's
kind of feels like Blank showed up because it wasn't going to get a second season.
Not that petitions work, but there are petitions to Disney to not make a second season. So anyway, you know, what do you know?
All right, boys and girls, that's it. Thanks for being here. Hope you enjoyed the show. We are back tomorrow for the Friday afternoon edition. It's going to be even more fun than today's was. Can you believe it? I think. We'll see. The great Lonzo's back. My name is Rob Brown. Have a lovely rest of your day. Don't drink and drive. I'll punch you in the face. For Lonzo, I'm Rob. See you back here tomorrow on the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate. Later.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
All right, got about 6 minutes left, and then it's time for What the X is Going On. And then we will call it a day here on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate.
I'm tired, man. This is like work today. Why did I schedule my vacation like that? I could have been at home asleep.
I am 100% I need a vacation from my vacation guy. I am 100% a guy that I know that, and I don't schedule the vacation where I come back and then have a day off at home and then go back to work. I come back the day before I have to go back to work. Next weekend, the lady friend and I are heading down to the location we are getting married in to, like, you know, you got to do the last play. You got to meet the vendors and test the food and try out the signature cocktails and all that. For my own vacation, and in one of my favorite cities in America that we're going to, we're leaving next Thursday. So I'll finish up ACC Media Days, and then as soon as I'm done picking her up and we're on the road, and then we'll stay there all day Friday, all day Saturday, and we'll leave Sunday afternoon, get back Sunday night for me to then turn around and come back to work. I am not building an extra off day into my vacation, dude. I'm coming back like 7 hours before I've got to be at work for the next time. I'm absolutely need a vacation from my vacation day guy. Zoe's doing great. All right, leave him alone.
See, I usually don't do that though, but because of work, I wanted to make sure that certain things got done. So I schedule my vacation around how I wanted to get work done, because I'm a company man. I don't know if you knew this.
But usually
I need time to recover because I am not good with travel time.
You should all be like Zoe.
Although we made pretty good time getting there and coming home. But, you know.
All right. We played for you earlier the clip of Dabo Sweeney talking about the unintended consequences of the expanded playoffs, right? And we got into the conversation about, well, if you're Dabo and your Tigers are 11-0 and you got a spot in the ACC title game, that if you win, you get a first round playoff bye, et cetera, and you're playing South Carolina, why would you play your guys? Why would you not sit them? The goal is a natty, right? That's the goal. Like, it's nice to beat your rival. It's nice to win. It's nice to go undefeated. But at the end of the day, the goal of every college football team when they start a season is to win the national championship. So why would you play your guys in a rivalry game if there is no benefit to a win other than being able to talk for the next year? There's not really one. So, Dabo Sweeney hater Paul Feinbaum decided that he needed to weigh in with his opinion. Asked about those comments by Greeny, Feinbaum said, quote, "No, he's not right. Dabo, that was plain dumb. What happened to you? You used to be a voice of reason in college football, and now you're the get off my lawn guy. Everybody knows what we're doing here. Everybody understands that this is essentially the NFL playoffs. Of course there's unintended consequences. That is not breaking news, Dabo. Your goal isn't to find problems with the system. Your goal is to get back in the playoff, someplace you haven't been in a while," end quote. Greenberg went on to respond to that. He said, yes, Dabo is right, because we're now going from a sport that's historically been focused almost exclusively on its regular season, and it's becoming a postseason-driven sport like practically all the rest of them are, and thus, you're going to see those kind of adjustments made immediately, end quote. Here's the thing, Zoe. Nobody's wrong here except for Feinbaum saying that Dabo's get off my lawn guy. Because you didn't hear Dabo say, this is bad, this is dumb, I don't like it. In fact, quite the opposite. He said, it's not going to change my philosophy. He's not get off my lawn guy. He's, hey, you asked for it, you got it, here's what's different, now let's go play the game. But outside of that, nobody's really wrong here. Paul is correct. The goal for Dabo is to get into the playoffs. That is the goal. That's all that matters at this point. But that doesn't make Dabo wrong. That doesn't make Dabo wrong. And also Greenberg is right. It is a postseason driven sport now, right? Just like the NFL, just like Major League Baseball, NBA, MLS, it's postseason driven at this point. And that was always, always, always going to become the inevitable outcome of making college football more and more and more about the money. Freaking nailed it.
Yeah, like
nailed it.
Like no one knew what you were doing. All right, the first thing that's Xing, I'm guessing this didn't happen while I was gone because no one can do it like me, but maybe it did. The first thing that's Xing is Brandon Ayuk.
So Brandon Ayuk, obviously earlier this week, asked for a trade away from the San Francisco 49ers after contract negotiations between the vet and the Niners broke down. Ayuk set to enter the final year of his contract, not even one of the top 10 paid wide receivers in the National Football League. He was asking for more money than Debo, and the Niners were like, yo, hold up, you ain't Debo, give some time. Well, Ayuk asked for a trade. Apparently, the Niners received multiple phone calls from teams looking to get on the horn and make that trade happen, and then they said, yeah, no, we're not trading the guy. If he's unhappy, then he can sit it out or play for what he's making and deal with it later. Well, Shefty has now reported that multiple teams have called the Niners, upped their offer, and said, we will pay him what he wants. We will give him that money, meaning he will accept that trade as opposed to being traded for a one-year rental somewhere.
Including a trade with the Raiders for a certain receiver that
Devante
is trying to find his way to the Jets.
Which is also interesting because Aaron Rodgers kicked off a controversy back at the beginning of this week when he said that he can't wait to, quote, play with Devante again, meaning he thinks that's coming down the pipe. That's interesting. Here's the most interesting thing. I looked it up last night. When you look at the odds to land Ayuk right now, do you know who's inside the top five right now, great one?
Jets.
The Carolina Panthers.
Really?
Yep.
Who are they going to trade?
Yep.
Who are they going to trade for him?
A boatload of draft picks.
Okay. All right. All right.
Now, I don't know if those lines jumped out like immediately after the announcement. And obviously those lines will jump around as teams respond. I believe the Steelers were in that mix. The Patriots were in that mix. The Niners and the Cardinals. And I think the Panthers slid in right after them.
All right. The next thing is Xing is Beetlejuice.
Beetlejuice. Beetlejuice.
Don't do it.
Beetlejuice.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Beetlejuice 2 dropping in some amount of days from now. I think the trailer comes out today.
Trailer's the second one just
the
came
second
out.
One. The it full. I think like, the full one.
Like it just came out. Well, no, there's been a full one. This the second one just came out like an hour ago. I think it was.
You say what you want. I'm excited as hell about this movie.
We'll see. He should.
I can't wait.
He shouldn't age because he's dead.
Wait.
He shouldn't age, but we'll see. I'm just being a little too technical. The next thing that's Xing is Bronny James.
Bronny James had him finally a game last night. His scoring average in the NBA Summer League has been about four a game, put up 14 last night and almost looked like a pro. That's not my favorite part. My favorite part is somebody took a video of Boston Celtics forward Jaylen Brown, who was at a Lakers Summer League game, and somebody caught him on a candid camera telling some ladies that he was with, and you can read his lips, I don't think he's a pro player yet. And now we got ourselves a little Jaylen v. Bronny v. LeBron
right,
rivalry. Right, because
someone actually compared his summer league stats to Bronny's stats,
uh-huh.
And they're about the same.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I'm pretty interested to see how this lays out, but we'll see.
And
we'll see.
Finally, Star Wars is Xing for some reason.
Star Wars is Xing because the Acolyte season finale has dropped or drops tonight. I think tonight, last night, right?
It was yesterday. No, it was Tuesday. It was Tuesday, rather. Yeah.
How you feel? Have you watched it yet?
Yes.
And you don't have to tell me anything, good or bad. Did it save itself? Because I read a lot of people say the last episode kind of saved itself.
No, absolutely not. There was a some character appearances. That's all I'm saying. Which were speculated on already.
Yeah,
happening.
I saw one of them already.
Yeah, it's just, no, it did not save
I
itself.
I did see an article that said because Blank showed up, it's earned a second season. I'm like,
no, there's
kind of feels like Blank showed up because it wasn't going to get a second season.
Not that petitions work, but there are petitions to Disney to not make a second season. So anyway, you know, what do you know?
All right, boys and girls, that's it. Thanks for being here. Hope you enjoyed the show. We are back tomorrow for the Friday afternoon edition. It's going to be even more fun than today's was. Can you believe it? I think. We'll see. The Great Lonzo's back. My name is Rob Brown. Have a lovely rest of your day. Don't drink and drive. I'll punch you in the face. For Lonzo, I'm Rob. See you back here tomorrow on the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate. Later.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.